Hey, welcome back to Eye in the Ball here on KVOI 1030 AM, the second hour of today's show. Had a lot of fun in the first hour talking to A.J. Bramlett, formerly of the 1997 national title team. A lot of success during that time, 96, 97, 98, 99. He graduated in 99, him and Jason Terry. Those great friendships with the other guys. If you have a chance and you missed it, you have a chance to re-listen to this on our podcast here at KVOI.com. Just kind of search for the podcast, go to my name, and you'll see it there. And I also put it on my website at allsportstucson.com, and then I put it on Facebook. So if you're not a friend of mine on Facebook, go ahead and friend me, and I put all my stuff, my writings and the show and all that meaningless stuff I cover here in Southern Arizona through the years. Do you go to this website, Bob? You better say yes.
What website?
AllSportsTucson.com.
Oh, yeah, sure. That's sometimes I go there to see if I can kind of get ahead of the
curve.
Get ahead of the ball.
Yes.
So before we go on the air and see what's on your mind, there is a lot going on that website. My gosh, you said you get how many bazillions of...
No, we get about 100,000 visits a day. I mean, not a day, a month with all the various. And it's just not me, obviously. It's Anthony Jimeno and Javier Morales and Andy Morales and other people who help us make this a better site.
The three of you go on the site 100,000 times a month? Is that what you were... That's what it started to sound
like. Yeah, we're the people that make the clicks go. So, yeah, funny.
Okay, so there's your interviews right there from yesterday?
Yeah, from yesterday, yeah. FC Tucson coach Darren Sawatsky and Sean Mooney. So every day I kind of put all the videos and the interviews on that thing.
Nice.
Hey, I want to kind of review what the news of the day was. Stacey Iveson, who's now with the UA softball team. She's an assistant coach, a recruiter. She's going to be the Israeli softball coach for the Olympics here in 2020.
Are they any good?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't remember them. I covered the Olympics in Australia and in Greece, and I don't remember that team. Dismissed softball, I think, in 2008 from the Olympics. Now it's coming back. That's when Candrea was the coach in 2004.
Right.
In that time. I hope they have him on the show. We can talk about that, the returning of softball to the Olympic Games. And then some of the bigger news, Alonzo Trier signing a $6.9 million contract with the New York Knicks. He's having a great rookie year. I guess when you're having a great rookie year, they give you $6.9 million. To play basketball.
That'll augment any food stamps that he's also getting on that. 6.9, and I'm sorry, for how many years?
I think it's a couple years. Yeah, a couple years.
Two, three. Wow.
Yeah.
You figure they get two checks a month, one check at the beginning?
I would never know. He made more in right now in our conversation than I'll make in a year.
Just us chatting?
Yeah, just chatting.
There's no sense in him picking up a $20 bill on the ground then, right?
No, I hope I get a good Christmas present. And then Hugo Kamitani from Pima, the soccer star, he was named the player of the year in the junior college ranks. He's the one that scored the winning goal for Pima to win it all about almost a month ago already, 3 weeks ago, whatever it was. Time flies when you're having fun on the show. This is what, you said 30-something shows of mine?
Yeah, I think 34, 35,
35.
Okay, 7.
Now if I can just slow down and start to enunciate, I think I'll be even better.
So have you already decided what you're going to do, what are your favorite shows for Christmas Eve and Christmas?
Oh, that's a good point, because we're going to be off the air. Tell me the days.
Well, we won't be off the air.
No, we won't be live.
We won't be here, yeah.
Yes, so
that's a Monday. What is that?
Christmas
a Monday
Eve?
And Monday and a Tuesday, I think.
Christmas Eve and Christmas Day.
Yeah,
and then New Year's Day.
Yeah,
yeah. I really liked my show with Andy Lopez.
Yeah,
baseball coach. Mm-hmm. I think we'll do that one, and I haven't really decided. Maybe today's show will be good. I don't know. I haven't looked back that far. I have too many things going on in my head, Bob.
Stop talking if you're going to actually use this as a replay now. I saw that game. Boy, they did good.
Yeah.
So you are coming in on New Year's Eve then for everybody?
I know you sent me an email about that. I haven't decided. I guess, is it up to me if you work or not?
Well, you and two other hosts, I suppose.
Oh, okay. We'll talk about that off the air.
I could sleep in, I guess.
Till 3 in the afternoon?
Just till, no, I'll till noon. And, you know, takes 45 minutes just to get this hair.
I'll get with the other guys to see how we can ruin your life.
No. I'm going to be, I got to wake up eventually anyway that day. I have a New Year's Eve party. Yeah, thank you very much. Me too. I have a New Year's Eve party I'm doing up at one of the well-known resorts here in town. So,
but you're working as the wedding singer?
That I'll be doing the wedding singer bit, yes. But, and, you know, old thing Zine that I've been doing New Year's Eve parties.
I might have to crash that party. Where's it at?
It is open to the public. It's at the Westin La Paloma.
I'll have to get up and dress up.
Bar lounge area. Not everybody dresses up.
I'll have to shave.
It's nice.
Shower.
It's Tucson.
You lost me at shower.
You know, even a pair of shorts and shoes and a tank top.
I'm in.
They'd let you in.
I'm in.
Because
hey.
People come in from the pool all
that's
the time.
It's my daily routine.
Get yourself a date.
You're asking for Christmas miracles.
Oh, well, you said kids. I don't see a ring finger or
let's
a finger
not,
on
let's
your
not
ring.
Let's not analyze my life. There,
I know. I didn't mean that. I was just thinking, you know, it would be a good date anyway. And, yes, miracles happen, maybe.
Yes, miracles happen, yes. Okay.
Don't take your kids. They're adult.
They're adult kids.
Oh,
yeah,
you could take your kids.
Yeah.
How fun.
Yeah, sure. enough about me. Let's talk about sports, please.
Yes. Talk about me. What do I think about you?
Yeah. You just did. Yeah. It'd be a miracle. So we're going to talk to Ernie McCray here in about 4 or 5 minutes, talking about his time as a UA player, what he's up to now. I know he's in San Diego. He's up to a lot of things. A very smart man, well-educated man, a poet. I think he's a poet. I know he's a writer. We'll see if he's still a poet.
Did you say football or basketball?
Basketball.
For him?
Basketball.
So
player.
He was playing in Bear Down Gym then, right?
Bear Down Gym. He holds the record for most points in a game at U of A.
46?
46. I have the day now, February 6th, 1960.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I've written about 3 or 4 stories on him. Mm-hmm. I know he was a couple of chapters in my books. Very smart man, very good guy. Tucson High graduate.
So he's got to be 90s, 80s?
I don't know. No, he's got to be upper 70s or lower 80s, I think. I don't know. I don't want to. I'll ask him. Yeah. We'll see what he has to say. Let's go to commercial now so we can spend a lot of time with him at the break, after the break.
Okie dokie.
Is that cool? Thanks. We'll see you guys on the other side.
One thing I said that I would never do, a look from you and I would fall from grace.
Lexus of Tucson announces the newest arrival to its crossover family, the UX Urban Explorer. With a starting MSRP of just $32,000, the UX offers numerous active safety features and Apple CarPlay as standard features. The UX has the best turning radius, highest MPG, and lowest cabin noise of any crossover in its class. Get details and see it now at Lexus of Tucson. Experience amazing. Speedway in Columbus and at the Auto Mall.
I am homeless in Tucson and I want to finish high school. Youth on Their Own in Tucson helps homeless kids like me. We're not troublemakers, just victims. Please direct your Arizona charitable tax credit to me at yoto.org. Help me and other homeless Tucson teens get our education and make Tucson a better place to live for all of us.
Lower your tax bill by donating to yoto.org. Take advantage of the 2018 tax credit. That's yoto.org.
This is Chandler with Mission Heating and Cooling. Our mission is to offer quality HVAC systems, provide excellent customer service at an affordable price. We can save you 1/3 of the cost of a normal system because we get our products direct from the distributor. We will make sure your HVAC system is properly installed and maintained. We also offer free estimates, free diagnostics, and no trip charge. Call Mission Heating and Cooling today at 822-8499 or online at arizonamission.com, 822-8499.
Where you bank really does matter. Hughes Federal Credit Union is proud to be recognized as the number one credit union across all of Arizona by Forbes. This national recognition highlights our commitment to high-quality products and services, our customer service, digital services, and financial advice. At Hughes Federal Credit Union, we offer higher savings rates, lower fees, and many free services. Make the switch. Join Hughes today. Visit HughesFCU.org/bestcreditunion. Certain restrictions apply. Insured by NCUA.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth. Spread the truth.
A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Wake Up Tucson with Christy Simone.
Hey, it's Chris from Wake Up Tucson. Join us for the big finish on Friday. Sue Clark from the Pima Trails Association, Margo from the Bra Spa, Barney Brenner, and then we're going to Italian Christmas with Rocco from Rocco's Little Chicago. Wake Up Tucson, 1030 KVUI, trusted local news and talk.
Wake Up Tucson, mornings from 6 to 10 on AM 1030 KVUI, the voice.
Trusted local news and talk, AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on politics.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on KVOI 1030 AM. I'm Steve Rivera, the host, and I'm lucky to have on the line Ernie McCray from Back in the Day and the Hoops program for U of A. How are you, Ernie?
I'm doing fine, Steve. How about you, man?
I'm fine, thank you. Great to hear for your voice. I haven't heard it in a long time. I know you're a busy man, even in retirement.
Yeah, you have to. We're animals, you know, so we have to keep plugging along.
tell me, how much do you, this is your hometown. Tucson's your hometown, correct?
Tucson is my hometown, yeah.
How often do you?
I left there when I was 24 years old.
How often do you come back?
Probably about once a year, and it's usually associated with something connected to the university or Tucson High or receiving an award of some kind, and I very seldom get over there just to hang out with old friends, mm-hmm. But when I get there, I do hang out with old friends.
Right, right. Are you still writing a lot? Are you still doing a lot of those things?
Yes, I pretty much have to. That's kind of how I breathe in the world, is being able to express myself. Never wanted to be anonymous, didn't want to be better than anybody, but certainly didn't want to be less than anybody, and I just like to weigh in on things, you know, and sometimes I maybe accidentally make a difference, in, you know, in some arena.
Well, we always want to do that. I know you do that with your prose and what you say. Let's talk. You're in San Diego now, right? Correct? You've been there for a long time.
Yeah, I've been here since 1962.
Wow. So after college, right after college?
Right after college. I graduated in 60, got my master's in 62, and hit the highway. There was no attitude with it, but, you know, I got a teaching job in San Diego that sounded good, and I came over here, and I've come to love this community, and I love my hometown dearly also. So I've got two hometowns.
Right, right. Let me ask you, just out of curiosity, because I do not know the answer to this. So you were about 24, 25 in that time going to San Diego. There was a kid named Walton playing in that area. Did you ever play Did you ever play against these guys, maybe just on the streets?
No, I missed Bill Walton. I was in a league called the Greater San Diego League, and it was like semi-pro. And
yeah.
It was really great to have the chance to, you know, play against, you know, top competition. But it was really serious, and I only did that about 4 or 5 years because, I mean, we had practices and we went out of town. We'd go to Yuma or San Francisco or someplace. And I had a wife and three kids, so I had to give that up. So when Bill came along, I wasn't I was no longer, you know, down at the Munich gym playing against guys like that. But he was my first kind of superstar that I saw in person. I saw him in high school, and I was just blown away. I flew my mother out here just to see him. I said, there's a redhead kid here you got to see.
Wow.
Play ball. He was like some adult playing with third graders out here. He's an amazing athlete.
Yeah.
And he's a friend.
No, I was going to ask you, you must have talked to him a few times. And you guys have kind of, not that I want to say you're crazy like him, but, you know, I'm sure you listen to him, and he goes off on tangents a lot.
Yeah, and I usually, well, I'm pretty much not in love with any announcers particularly. A lot of times I'll just mute the sound unless I see something going on and I'm wondering what they're saying about it. Like, I'll watch an Arizona game and they'll show some saguaro cactus or something, and Bill will be going on and I'll turn on. Yeah, I don't mind his, well, he's a real interesting guy.
Yes.
He ties the world into it. And I don't mind that so much. But he'll just do it for like a minute or two and all kind of stuff is going on and he's talking. I wish he would just, you know, pull back and let us watch the action a little bit. But some people hate him. You know, I follow people on Facebook, you know, and they just can't stand the guy, you know. But he's a great man.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I did a story on him maybe 3-4 years ago and how divisive he is to Arizona fans. Either you love him or you absolutely hate him, like you said.
Yeah.
I said he deserves a pass because he had Luke Walton, and Luke Walton came here.
That's right. He could have, asked his son to go any place
UCLA.
Like UCLA.
Yeah. Hey, how often do you talk about, this is a dumb question, talk about February 6, 1960?
Usually someone else will bring it up. There are a few people here who know about the record, and they'll ask about it every now and then. But I'll mention it sometime in something I'm writing. And
let me kind of preface it with, that was the night that Ernie McCray scored 46 points, I think, against Cal State, and it was
LA.
It's Cal State LA, and it still holds the record for most points in a game by U of A. So I just want to put some context behind it.
Yeah, and you know what I appreciate about it? I really wouldn't mind if somebody broke the record, but what I appreciate about it is, you know, I played at Arizona when we had some, for lack of a better word, lousy teams. So, but because of that record, I get mentioned with Sean Elliott and Bob Elliott, you know, and Richard Jefferson and stuff. And that's been kind of fun.
Oh, it must be. That day, there was no three-pointer, obviously. Do you know how many times you shot the ball and how many you made?
I don't know, but I remember Carl Porter wrote an article, I think, and they kind of took measure of, you know, where I shot from, and I think about 4 or 5 of those shots might have been from the 3-point line.
Yeah, no, back in the day.
The record could have been in the 50s.
And back in the day, describe Bear Down to me. Back then, because it was 60. It was already an old gym.
Yeah, it was. But we didn't, you know, those of us that grew up around there didn't consider it an old gym. It was the gym. I mean, that was everybody's least dream, was go play and Bear Down gym. But I look at it compared to, you know, the field houses and gyms we have now. I mean, it was something. But I loved it, and I kind of that's where I did my thing, and with all the great players that have come along who ruled the, you know, McHale, I kind of ruled Bear Down Gym, so it's a little pride, and I got to play with some decent players. Pudge Neimeyer had started breaking records right before me, and then I came along and broke his records, and Bob Mueller. My sophomore year team, I thought, could have been a real good team, but we didn't have the coaching. And I don't say that to put Fred Ink down. You know, he had had a wonderful career, but the game was changing, and he wasn't keeping up with the changes, and he wasn't good at recruiting, you know, so we didn't get to, you know, play as well as we could. But I appreciate the experience, got a degree out of that place, and, you know, and have had a wonderful life, and it's great to be remembered. Like, having you ask me to be on this show is just, you know, a very prideful kind of, gives me a feeling of pride that people would, you know, want to hear anything I had to say.
Well, it's funny because I knew of you. I didn't know anything more of you because of what you did and accomplished when I was doing some of the books earlier in my career. And I'm thinking, cool, I get to talk to Ernie McRae. He was the guy that scored 46 points, and that record still holds. I mean, it's come close to being broken a couple times. I know Damon had 45 maybe against Stanford. I was
yeah,
at that game.
He did.
And there's been a couple, you know, Khalid maybe came close a time or two, Sean. But are you surprised it still holds solid?
I am. Well, you know, I thought it was going to be broken, and I can't think of the kid's name now. He's playing in the pros. I'm having a senior moment. And he was – I was watching the game. My wife was still alive then, and he was scoring like crazy in the first half. And I called my wife. I said, hey, babe. My record's going to be broken tonight, and I was eager to see it because it was on like ABC or something like that. You know, I said, hey, you know, you get your name mentioned, you know,
sure.
Somebody looking at the record to see who held it. And then he slowed down. And
it could have been Gerald Bayless. Could have been Gerald Bayless.
That's who it was.
Yeah, because he had a great first half, and then they kind of stopped him, or he didn't need to score as many points.
Well, that's the thing. There have been these great teams. They didn't need 46 points. In my day, the team kind of went according to how I went, you know. So I was free to, you know, shoot them. And to a shooter, that's a lot of fun.
Sure, sure. No, it's funny. In talking to Bob yesterday and who I was going to have on the show, and earlier in the show we had A.J. Bramlett, and I said, oh, we get to talk to Ernie McRae tomorrow. He has the record for most points in the game. He says, did he know how to pass? I says he didn't have to pass back in the day. They asked him to score.
No, it was all Fred Ink. I can still hear him. Get the ball to Ernie. I mean, get the ball to Ernie. He would pull people off the court.
If he didn't get the ball.
But I learned to pass later on when I came over here in that greater San Diego league and found out that I was a pretty decent passer. You know, I was trained as a big man. I was only 6'5", you know, and that was considered big then. And we didn't get to do a lot of the dribbling drills and stuff, but I worked on that. I could play, you know, I could have played. I could have brought the ball up the court if necessary, but that wasn't even a thought of the coach's mind. You know, we had
right.
our guards on our plays. And that was it. We had plays. We didn't have a system. We didn't have a thing, well, okay, you go and you get the ball at the top of key, and then if such happens, then you switch off and you do something else. It was just like that was a play, number two, you know, and you had to go through it, and the team that scouted you knew exactly what you were going to do.
Right, right.
It was a different thing.
Sure, sure, no question. Hey, can you stay with me another 10 minutes after the break? We'll talk about some of your evaluations of the team now and maybe some of the players that have kind of impressed you through the years. We'll go to break here. Thanks, Bob, and we'll come back on KVOI 10:30 a.m.
Lido missed the boat that day. He left the shack, but that was all he missed, and he ain't coming back. And to the Sean Bar in a G-joint car, he made a stop just like.
Hey there, sports fans. Everyone knows that pizza is a game day tradition, and Tino's Pizza has been feeding fans across town for 34 years. Family owned and operated, Tino's has your game day covered, from scratch made pizzas to wings. You can dine in or swing by for pickup, and delivery is available too. For game day and every day in between, Tino's Pizza is ready to serve at 6610 East Tankerverde Road. Call them at 296-9656 or check out their menu today at tinospizza.com.
Aren't you tired of listening to your lady complain about how her bra hurts? Here at the Bra Spa, we fit bras for a living. Buy your gal a gift card and we'll make all of her bra fit woes go away. You know that you're going to give her a gift card for Christmas, so get it now. You give me $100, I'll give you a gift card for $115. You give me $200 and I'll give you a gift card for $230. We'll get a comfy bra for her and a sexy bra for you. The Bra Spa on East Tankerberty Road.
When you went car shopping, you meant business. You aced vehicle history searches and test drives. You out-salesmaned the salesman. Now you've got your wheels. If you manage that, you can get your retirement plan on track. Visiting aceyourretirement.org can help. With 401k tips and smart saving strategies, you'll have the info you need to get more for your future. Go to aceyourretirement.org, because when it comes to speeding past financial challenges, you're an ace. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
As a mother, you don't want to have to worry about this bill is coming, but then she needs this chemo. That's a decision you shouldn't have to make.
It's a huge burden lifted financially, and so it allows you to give singular focus to your child. I've never known a hospital that takes care of their patients so thoroughly.
That was the first thing I was like, how are we going to do this? When they told us that we didn't have to pay a single bill, I was like, wow. They pretty much have saved us.
It's like the world has been lifted off of your shoulders, and now your focus is supporting this child.
There is not another hospital like St. Jude. The patient care is unmatchable. It saved my life. It saved my daughter's life. It saved our family.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, our Friday Focus interview is with Congresswoman-elect Ann Kirkpatrick. The roundtable features Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News and Jim Nintzel of the Tucson Weekly. Matt Russell of Inside Tucson Business has Weekend Watch on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted local news and talk.
Trusted local news and talk. AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on sports.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on KVOI 1030 AM. I'm Steve Rivera, the host, and I'm speaking to Ernie McCray, a former U of A basketball player from the late 50s, early 60s. You were right on the Fred Inc thing. I think it was at the tail end of his career. He was afraid of flying, if I'm correct. And he relied on a lot of the local guys to come and play for him.
Yeah, he did.
And you were one of those guys.
Right. And he didn't really recruit me, which I never understood. But Alan Stanton, I don't know if you know Alan.
Yes, I know the name.
One of my favorite all-time Arizona athletes. That was a dude who could play a little of everything. He saw me at the Y, and he, of course, he knew about me, and he said, Hank hasn't called you? I said, no. And he said, well, I'll take care of that. And next thing I knew, I had a scholarship. Eastern Arizona, J.C., Bruce Larson was over there. He was interested in me. And Kansas was interested in me.
Wow.
And I can't remember who I talked to, but they were all about, you know, getting the ball to Will Chamberlain. I'm a team person, but I didn't like the concept. You know, I mean, he must have said that several times in the conversation. You know, your job is get the ball into, you know, sort of like, well, you know, what do I do?
You know, well, you get the ball into Will Chamberlain. That's
yeah,
what you would have
yeah,
to do.
Right.
Right. So, and then Bruce came a little time after that. Would you have loved to play for Bruce? He was more of a basketball guy.
Oh, I would have loved to play Bruce. He came and he was assistant coach.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If I remember right, my senior year, and I learned so much from him. You know. He was the first person I ever remember discussing ball with that talked about philosophy and that type of thing. Up to that, it was just learning plays and executing, and he was talking about, well, what you want to do when you get a team back against the wall, you want to do certain kind of things. And, you know, it just, he made me, he brought thinking into the game.
Yeah.
Before I just,
yeah,
I
he's
had natural talent. And I followed that.
He's still around, and you, when you talk to him, he makes, still makes you think. Smart man.
Yes.
Smart man.
Yeah, he is a very smart man. I love him.
Yeah, great guy. So let me tell you, so you leave here and you see these guys like Walton in the 60s and Chamberlain and Lew Alcindor, people like that. How has the game changed so much in your time that you've been an observer?
Well, what's really changed is the ball handling. And I can't do what a lot of – I've seen third graders walking down the streets dribbling a basketball, doing things I couldn't do, because a lot of today's game is palming the ball.
Uh-huh.
You know, we had strict rules. You know, your hand was on top of the ball, bouncing it downward. These guys travel that, and I like the game better now, but I don't even know how to do those things that they do, because it would have been a bad habit in my day.
Sure.
The referees would have been, they would have, all you would have heard was referees' whistles if we did that stuff. You watch somebody like Steph Curry, he does five moves in one move.
Right.
And his head is going one way, his left shoulder is going another way, his hip is going another way. And you know, and sometimes when they're dribbling the ball, they kind of carry it, too. They'll
yeah.
be still running, and the ball is kind of still up in the air a little bit, you know. It would have been interesting to play like that, but I've tried to do some of those things, and I can't do it.
Right, right. Back when you played, who were the stars? Who were the stars? Not so much here. Not at U of A, but
Oscar Robertson.
Mm-hmm. Cincinnati.
Jerry West.
I think he's Cincinnati, right? And then West played at West Virginia?
Yeah, and wow, I'm having a – there was a kid from Kansas State who was Wayne Embry, Jack Twyman. You know, I tried out at Cincinnati, and I got to play with those guys for a while, you know, with Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
Then I was cut before the season started. So there were some great players. Jerry, somebody who also went to Ohio State, Havlicek, and those guys were playing in college then.
There were some very, very good players back in the – obviously, Havlicek, you're talking about Jerry West, all these guys with big, big names.
And I played against Barney Cable at Bradley. He was a mm-hmm. great ball player.
Was the center –
the first time I'd ever remember being really nervous in a game. We were flying to Peoria to play them, and I was reading a sports magazine, and he was the feature of that month, you know, and I'm reading about all that he had done and stuff. And when I got out on the court with him, I wasn't surprised that I could hang with him, but he was something, you know, you could feel his energy on the course, the force of him. They had Bobby Joe Mason and another player who went on to – Mason went on and played with the Globetrotters. He was a guy that could probably handle the ball then like
they do now.
Young people do now.
Yeah. How was traveling back in the day? I know before your time, just not too long before your time, it was, you know, trains here, trains there, snow drifts here, cancellations in horrible gyms.
We flew. And that was my first flying experience in 1957. I had never flown, but we flew back east to Iowa and Peoria, flew to California, Northern California, and a couple of, I think we rode the bus going over to like
UTEP,
New Mexico State, New Mexico, and
yeah.
those schools.
Let me ask you a quick question, too. You were in the 60s, late 50s. What did Hattie Redd mean to you? And I ask, and the listeners probably don't know who Hattie Redd is. Maybe some do, some don't. But the first African-American basketball player who came a little before you.
Yeah, he came a couple of years for me. He was a hero of mine and a friend of mine. Not a real, you know, we didn't have a deep friendship because he was only here for while, but he had played at Carver, the all-black school in Phoenix, and Haiti was somebody I looked up to, and I understood the significance of him being there, you know, because Jackie Robinson had already had the concept of somebody breaking a barrier, mm-hmm. that type thing, and he was the perfect person to do it. I wish he had stayed long. I don't remember. He didn't finish up, but I don't remember what the deal was on that. But he was smooth.
Mm-hmm.
He could really play.
Yeah, when I was trying to do the book, when I was doing the book, I tried to reach out to him. And the last I heard, I know he's deceased now, passed away, that he was a police officer in the Bay Area.
Yeah, a big-time police officer, I think. You know, like, you know, near chief or something.
Yeah.
My mm-hmm. serves me right.
Right, right. Let me
Great guy.
Yeah, let me bounce around a little more. So you've been gone. Can I ask your age? You're late 70s?
I'm 80.
80, okay. That was in that general ballpark. Who since you've been around, who are the players that have really impressed you? Maybe at U of A.
Iguodala.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's just an incredible player, and he still is. And I like that he's accepted his role with the Warriors. You know, he could be the...
Sure.
Well, he's getting a little old now, but he could be the man at a lot of teams. And so that tells me that he really has a spirit of teamwork. I like Richard Jefferson. I appreciated his pro career. I thought he would have been even better at the pro level than he did, but I mean, he did well.
Right. You know,
certainly not tearing down his game. I liked Luke. I saw early on how he didn't always have big numbers, but he was in the game in several ways. And he has one quality his dad had, and he's a great passer.
Yeah.
I thought Bill Walton was. Walton's outlet pass to get a fast break started is one of the best I've ever seen.
Right.
That
high IQ.
Yes. And he'll let you know it.
Yeah, yes, he will. Oh, Luke not so much, but Luke had that guy.
No.
Luke could see things, and I said that Luke was like a lot of the pool players today, where you're not shooting for the shot you're shooting for the shot you're going to get.
You're going to get, right.
yeah, because he would think ahead of
the guy.
Yeah, and that makes for good basketball playing.
Oh, yeah, and he's a wonderful coach. A lot of people were worried that LeBron was going to come in, and who knows what the dynamics are.
Yeah.
But I don't think that Luke is, you know, worried about that. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, and if he doesn't, if they don't appreciate him, guess what? He'll get let go there, and he'll go somewhere else and do a good job.
Oh yeah,
there.
He will.
Yeah, because he's that good of a coach. I agree with you. What about Gilbert Arenas and guys like that?
I like Gilbert. I wish he'd have calmed down a little bit.
You and everybody else.
Because he's an incredible ball player, but you know, he's who he is. I like Bibby. Bibby was cool.
Yeah.
And I hope that he and his dad, you know, reconciled their things. I know that was, you know,
at the time, yes.
Story.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. At the time, yeah. Let me ask you maybe a final one or two questions. How much pride you've lived through all this time with being an Arizona fan, basketball fan?
Big fan, a big amount of pride within me. I keep up with the guys, and I watch the arguments on Facebook. You know, I'm a different kind of fan. You know, a lot of people just hate ASU and what they call them, ASU and all that kind of stuff. I hate it. I don't understand the concept of hate in basketball. I want to beat you.
Right.
And I wanted to beat them more than anybody. But when they weren't playing us, I wanted them to win. And now I want them to do well, and then I want us to do better, you know.
Sure.
I feel pride as an Arizonan watching those teams be successful, and I don't know, it just I look at them as what they are, the players, they're kids, you know, and some people just hate them and they wish them the poor luck.
Right.
Yeah, I don't quite understand that. When I was at Tucson High, Amphi was it, and I lived to beat them. But I had friends on their team. That's the thing I like about sports. You can be friends. I love playing against friends.
Yeah.
Because then you're going for bragging rights. But I don't hate them. Maybe hate them. Maybe that's not what people are doing. But I don't know. It's just I'm so proud of my state now. Tucson, you know, Tucson is a lot different than when I was growing up. When I was growing up, a person like Trump would have won easily in Tucson. And for that town to, from what I've read, seemingly overwhelmingly didn't vote for him, that brings up a kind of pride in me I can't really describe, you know, because I grew up during the Jim Crow days.
Yeah.
There,
and
then seeing things kind of change at the state level. The university has become this incredible university. When I was there, it was, I don't like to get into liberal and conservative and all that, but it was conservative as hell. And I'm an outspoken kind of person. And I remember, you know, professors trying to quiet me and, you know, in political science and stuff, I'd bring up apartheid and South African stuff. And they'd say, oh, well, that's not relevant to what we're doing. Then I said, well, how can that not be relevant to me? And being an educator is all about making whatever lessons you're trying to impart relevant.
Right.
You know, and making connections to the world. And now that's a world-class university. I am so proud. When I walk on that campus, I just beam. I grew up on the campus.
Yeah, not too far from.
My mother was a big city girl. She grew up in Pittsburgh and went to college in Washington, D.C. at Howard University. And then she got TB right after she graduated, and they shipped her out to Tucson, and she was mortified when she got here. She said, my goodness, you know, what do people do? And then the university was right up the street, and so she'd take me to forums and art shows and plays and, you know, games. So when I went to the university and had freshman orientation week, I knew the campus better, some of the people that were showing us around.
I
used to go up and harass all my sports heroes, Roger Johnson, the great basketball player. And Art Lupino was a contemporary of mine. But, you know, Eddie Walgass and all those guys, I used to go to those games in the Knothole section.
Sure. You're bringing it back.
I get invited to the U every now and then.
You're right. You're bringing back some great memories. Hey, thank you very much for joining me, Ernie. It's been great to talk to you.
Hey, anytime, Steve. Thank you, man.
I appreciate
your work. You, what are you guys, Jimeno and you guys, what do you call yourselves?
The sports guys.
Yeah. I love that, man. I follow your stuff.
Great. I appreciate it. You're the one guy that does. I appreciate it. It's a lot of fun. We're going to have this interview with you on our website later today or tomorrow morning. I appreciate it again.
Hey, thanks a lot, Steve.
All right. Thank you, Ernie. Hey, we'll go to break on the other side, talk more about UA sports. Thanks.
New Year's with 2 days of fun. Tucson's Football Festival, the Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl, begins Friday, December 28th with the University of Arizona Downtown Block Party presented by Rio Nuevo. On Saturday, wake up and tailgate 8 to 10 on the UA Mall. 11:15 is the kickoff of fun, food, beer, and Arkansas State versus Nevada with tickets from $25. After the game, free admission for all at the Desert Diamond Casino Goalpost Party featuring Everclear. Details at NovaArizonaBowl.com.
Wouldn't you love to wake up in the morning, grab a remote, and open all the shades in your room from the comfort of your bed?
Or sit back on your sofa, put on a movie, and close the shades with the touch of a button. Sound like a luxury only for the elite? Not anymore. Now you can save big during Budget Blinds motorization event. Enjoy the luxury and ease of motorized window coverings now at amazing savings from Budget Blinds.
Call locally owned Budget Blinds in Tucson at 790-6180.
He finally did it!
What?
He got her Sonic's new Steakhouse Bacon Cheeseburger.
Oh.
Guys, if you really love her, get her Sonic's new Steakhouse Bacon Cheeseburger and Tots for $4.99. Nothing says you're the best thing that ever happened to me, like crispy bacon and black pepper mayo. One bite of warm, buttery brioche bun will leave her speechless.
It's beautiful.
Hurry into Sonic for the new Steakhouse Bacon Cheeseburger and Tots for $4.99.
Tax not included. See menu for details. For limited time only at participating Sonic Drive-In.
Kaya weighed just 1 pound, 1 ounce at birth and endured a grueling 163 days in the hospital. Thanks to research funded by the March of Dimes, Kaya survived premature birth, the number one killer of babies in the United States. The birth of a child is supposed to be a joyful event, yet each year about 380,000 babies like Kaya are born too soon, and many have serious health problems that can last a lifetime. But you can change that. Join 3 million friends, families, and colleagues in more than 500 communities across the nation in March for Babies. The money we raise is so important in fighting premature birth and other life-threatening challenges that newborns face. We're supporting research and programs that help more moms have full-term pregnancies and healthier babies. Sign up, join a team, and start fundraising today at marchforbabies.org. Together, we can fight premature birth and help more babies be born healthy.
Trusted local news and talk. AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on Tucson.
Welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on KVOI 1030 AM. I'm Steve Rivera, the host. That was a lot of fun for me, talking to Ernie McCray, back in the day basketball.
Back in the day, 80 years young.
80 years young sounds very good, doesn't it?
Yeah, I didn't sound 80.
Very bright, very bright. What does 80 sound like?
Well, he just sounded youthful. I mean, he could be a 40-year-old. He just, you know, there's... So talking to other people 80 and above, they just a little slower and more methodical, and he was kind of off the cuff and just
Very bright man.
Yeah,
very bright guy. Like his game back in the day, that February 6, 1960, lit it up for 46 against Cal State LA. A great time. Never had a chance to play in McHale. McHale came about 13 years later. I think it was like for $8 million they paid for McHale back in the day. I'm serious.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a lot of money back then.
You couldn't even update half of, you couldn't update the roof probably of Bear Down. I could see, you know, how he got to not liking passing so much if they were telling him, pass it to Chamberlain.
Pass it to Chamberlain, yeah.
Pass
you don't want to do
Chamberlain.
That.
Pass it to Chamberlain. It's like, well, what do I need to be here for?
Right. Well, and then they said to him, he was Chamberlain at U of A. Because they wanted him to get the ball underneath the basket or close to the basket so he could score. Heck of a career, a nice little career. Went to get his master's, I think it was after that, and then moved to San Diego. A lot of fun. Hey, you know what we need to do? I need to get rid of some pizzas.
Pizza time.
Pizza. So if you'd like to call, be the first caller here at 790-2040. So two slices, two big slices of Tino's Pizza. You can use the coupon for anything else you'd like, maybe in the discount of off of another item or two. So if you want to call in, 790-2040. They're going very quickly when we have these little giveaways. Tino's is on Tancredi. You know where it's at. It's near Sakura. Great pizza. I know that Bob here had lunch there or dinner there about a couple days ago.
I had dinner, then breakfast, and then lunch all in the next couple of days there. I forgot what it was called. The Pradia, something or other, with basil, garlic, and we added some meatballs. It was fantastic.
Yes.
You know, those salads, some of these
pizza delivery places can be rather boring, but they made a good salad. I think my wife got a Caesar or something, chicken Caesar. She said it was great.
Yeah.
She said it was great.
Yeah.
So what are you giving away now?
The two slices of pizza for Tino's Pizza.
Those are good size slices. Mm-hmm.
They're not small.
Yeah, little. It's not processed processed cheese or whatever. It looks all fresh. They had a crew there all working hard, not just one really tired guy going, what do you need?
See, the next time you go in, they say, hey, aren't you the guy that handles Steve Rivera's show?
Yeah, they say, I recognize you from the radio.
Yeah.
you must be Steve's twin.
Yeah, you described yourself perfectly. The guy with little hair and looks like the Grinch.
Yeah, there you go. Hair growing out my ears or whatever else the
I didn't give Grinch. That description. You did, remember?
Yeah, well, I'm trying to remember the Grinch. With the new one is cute, too, in case you want to take one of your adult children.
Oh, yeah, sure. I am the Grinch to them. What do you mean? I am the living live guy. Yes, yes. I do have my son visiting me this for Christmas here this weekend. He's coming this weekend for a couple of weeks. Which
oh,
is
nice.
Yeah, yeah.
That'll be great.
A lot of fun.
Are you the cook? Are you going
to
be
cook. It's funny. A funny story, and I don't know if listeners wanted to hear this, but I don't cook. I don't cook at all. I don't know how to cook. So when I got a divorce a few years back, my sons were younger, and my youngest son, who's visiting me now, he's the witty one of the family. Dad, I'm glad we don't stay all the time with you, because if we did, we'd be fat.
Takeout?
I eat takeout, yes, every day. And that's the sad part. That's why I look the way I look. I look like the number zero. At least in my mind, I look like the number zero. It's not the number one. That's for darn sure. But it was a good day today. I spoke to A.J. Bramlett in the first hour, reminiscing about 97 and his good time with all his buddies from JT, Miles Simon, A.J. Bibby, and all them. I don't know if I mentioned Miles, but Miles was the leader of that group. And then we talked to Ernie McCray, who has the record for points in a game for U of A, played in 1960. I think he finished in 60. Played in the 50s and 60 for the late, great coach Fred Ink, who by that time had kind of already was at the end of his career here at U of A and didn't want to recruit anymore. Didn't recruit much anyway during his career, but it was what it was.
That was not somebody claiming the pizza, so.
Oh, well, it wasn't.
I'll have to take the pizza off of your hands there. Or maybe, you know,
no, we'll just
John's behind me. Maybe he'd eat it.
We'll do it tomorrow. We'll do two tomorrow.
Ooh.
That'll be cool. It'll be the bonus special tomorrow.
Ooh. Ooh, so that would be four slices. That's like a dinner for two or three.
Actually, that's true. That's true. That's a week worth of food for me. So did you like my food? So I don't cook, and my son says, you know, we're going to be fat. We'd be fat, Dad, if we stay with you all the time.
When I first got divorced, as you said many years ago, I wasn't a cook either, and I just remember buying so many of these cute little TV dinners from my boys that had like a picture you could do. And
Got to keep them occupied. You must have been dad of the year. Dad of the year.
They didn't get fat from TV dinners. That's for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, but hey, great show today. We'll be back tomorrow to try to do better. I'm not sure who the guests are tomorrow, but I'm looking forward to the show. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks.